Good morning.
Good to see you in the house of the Lord here in person and also online on another beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with because His mercies remain new today too. Do you like a good storm? Wind blowing, rain blowing sideways, lights flickering. Thankfully, where we live, we do not have such storms often, but that is not the case in other locations near and far. And while storms can vary in severity and also from location to location, can the same be said when it comes to the storms of life that we endure due to illness or relationship issues and so on? Those are not enjoyable things. So how do we prepare for them? Why do we have to go through such storms of life? Questions like these and others we hope to talk about during our worship this morning. We're at the third Sunday of end time in our church here. One of the main emphases of the third Sunday of end time is called Saints Triumphant. So even though we go through storms of life, we still can be considered the saints triumphant. God be praised for that. We direct your attention now to the invocation on page 3 of our service bulletin. God our Father, each day is a gift of your grace.
Your mercy is new every morning.
Guide our steps by the light of your word.
Shield us from harm and keep us from evil.
Better than life is your love. Praise be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Please stand. This I call to mind, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. I say to myself, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion.
So great is his love.
For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. Let us confess our sins to the Lord.
Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us, according to your promises in Christ Jesus.
God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins by his death on the cross and freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God now and forever.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let us give glory to God, our light and our life.
Let us worship him.
Let us pray. Almighty God and Savior, you have set the final day and hour when we shall be delivered from this world of sin and death. Keep us ever watchful for the coming of your Son, that we may sit with him and all your holy ones at the marriage feast in heaven. Be seated. As we turn our attention to the word of our Lord for this Saints Triumphant Sunday, we set the reflection using Psalm 119. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
Your faithfulness continues to all generations. You establish
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Reading from Holy Scripture through the prophet Isaiah, the 65th chapter. People would like to have harmony here on earth, yet because of sin, such harmony will not truly exist. But thankfully, there is harmony in heaven. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, 1,000 generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Oh, and on that day we'll join the resurrection. worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign. So let it be today, we shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. So let it be today, we shout the
Another aspect of heaven we'll be able to enjoy, the ideal weather conditions. A reading from Holy Scripture, Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Jesus reveals the secret to living forever. This is a secret we are meant to share, and that is all of us are meant to share it. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her, and in the same way the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, The people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord
Christ. Seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace, may it remain yours in great abundance, and this is possible thanks to God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We turn our attention back to the words of Revelation 22. We hear once again this: no longer will there be any curse. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his work of atonement, God is able to look at us not as sinners, but as saints, holy ones. What a precious gift. What, dear friends, is causing you pain at this moment? Hopefully it's not this sermon. Is it back pain? A sinus headache? Heart issues? Your legs? A relationship that is going through a misunderstanding? There are multiple sources and reasons for pain. Pain comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes. It is called pain for a reason, because it hurts. I know there are some people who like to dismiss people's pain. Ah, just get over it, rub some dirt on it. But pain is real. When we tell someone that, just get over it, we're not helping them deal with their pain, at least not in a God-pleasing way. Physical and emotional pain, it can have an impact on our faith and thus cause spiritual pain. The cause of pain, it is not God. It is we human beings. And so then the way to deal with pain, to find relief from the pain, it's not through us, but rather through God. And he can use direct and indirect ways to help us endure the pain, to get through the pain, to overcome the pain. Keeping in mind that we come and go from this life, and so we're not really the answer. I mean, we have significance while here on earth. However, God remains the constant, and he has a continual goal while this earth endures, and that is to bring people to a knowledge of his truth and be saved. At times using pain to get one's attention, and then offering them relief for the pain. And this is where we can come in, because he can use us to be channels to offer that relief for the pain, especially the spiritual and emotional pain. As long as we are on this earth, we will have pain. But thankfully, that pain does not carry over when the Lord takes us from this vale of tears to his heavenly mansion. And so we can say with the Apostle John, who was led by the Holy Spirit to say, "You will hurt no more." In essence, you will hurt no more, because heaven is free from sin. But that cannot be said here of earth, can it? With sin comes consequences. God was very clear with Adam and Eve and to all creation. If you disobey his commands, there will come consequences. And so when Adam and Eve disobeyed God's command regarding the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there were consequences. They realized that they had sinned against God. And God pointed out what some of those consequences would be. Many of them were still enduring to this day. And those consequences come with pain, physical pain, in the fingers, throughout the body, mental pain, and spiritual pain, because sin separates us from God. and nothing we do can repair that separation. God is clear about that as well. For with the wages of sin comes death. And how much pain have we suffered because of death on this earth, all around us? Whether it be a family member, a close friend, or someone we hear about on the news, and that the way they died, it kind of rings close to home. There's pain with such things. But we shouldn't be surprised at it, because the Lord said, with sin will come pain. There are human attempts to deal with this pain. We try to ignore that God exists. Maybe that'll help deal with the pain. But the pain is still there. In fact, it intensifies because there's no true way to deal with the pain. Or we can try to redefine sin, what it is, and perhaps then the consequences of sin will go away. But what happens? More pain still comes. The more we human beings try to deal with the pain on our own, the more we end up in pain. And oftentimes, the more we end up in sin. I mean, sin is like a vice grip, is it not? I mean, once it gets a hold of us, it doesn't let go. It doesn't want to let go. And it can drive us deeper and deeper down into sin. And the deeper we go, the more consequences there come. And the more consequences there come, the more pain there is. And if we are not led to repentance and do repent, the greatest pain of all, eternal torment, separation from God for all eternity. People may be dismissive of that pain now, but there will come a time when it'll be all too real. And so the Lord has given us now. Now is the day to repent. Now is the day to address the pain. Oh, we still may have physical pain to deal with and mental pain to deal with, but that spiritual pain, the Lord God has indeed a definite answer for it. He gives us a peace that can transcend all understanding, and it does. Because that peace is not rooted in us or anything we come up with. It's rooted in His grace which is ever flowing like a river where there's no fear of drought. It's always flowing at full blast. And with that river of grace is the peace that can only come from God through our living Savior, Jesus Christ. And so you will hurt no more when the Lord calls you to heaven. For in heaven there is no sin. There cannot be sin in the presence of a holy God. We kind of get a foretaste of that when we worship, right? Because we address God as repentant sinners, and we're assured of forgiveness not by our works, but by the work of Christ. And so we're reminded of how we're able to be in the presence of God, not because of us, but because of we who have been washed clean through the blood of the Lamb. And so God gives us a little foretaste, glimpse of heaven, but anything here on earth limps in comparison. John was given that vision to get a picture of what heaven will be like, and the exact details we'll find out one day for ourselves, but there's that river of life, always flowing. Again, no fear of drought conditions. We understand and appreciate the significance of water. We long for it on this side of heaven for multiple reasons, right? We're able to bathe in it. We're able to eat because of it. Crops grow. We need water. It sustains life. And in heaven, there's that river of life. You get a good picture of it looking at that last window on the west side, a foretaste of what God has prepared for us. That river of life, picturing God's grace ever flowing, it's visible. It's not contaminated. I mean, we may have fears, concerns about swimming in the Sac or American River, and rightly so, with E. coli and everything else, but not so with the river of life. indeed something to look forward to, and that's what helps us deal with the pain that we endure on this side of heaven. And then there's that tree of life, right? Going back to the Garden of Eden, there was the tree of life and the knowledge of good and evil. And that tree of life is there in heaven, pictured for us, ever sustaining. But what's not there, that tree of knowledge and good and evil? Because again, there is no opportunity for sin in heaven. There is no death. And that tree of life is forever bearing fruit, it ongoing. What a beautiful picture to hold on to again as we deal with pain of whatever it might be on this side of heaven. And then also then the light source. We won't need the sun, moon, and stars. We won't need LED bulbs and how to worry about how disposing of them. Because God is the light. Again, another great picture to hold on to as we deal with pain on this side of heaven. And keeping in mind, as Job confessed, we will be able to see God with our own eyes. Now we can't. We can't bear that sight, but then he'll give us that privilege. There's a reason why the Lord has given us this picture. Because he knows we have to endure times of pain. Pain that has come with the sin that we caused. But hold on, dear friend. Because he doesn't just allow that pain in our life, he gives us relief from the pain. And again, though the physical pain may remain, but he can take care of that too. And that whatever is causing us mental anguish, it may remain, but then again, he can take care of that as well. The pain that separates us from God, he has taken care of through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that's the encouragement to hold on to the Word of God, the Word by which God uses to call us to faith and the Word by which he keeps us in the faith. He is the one who calls and gathers us together. He is the one who has made us worthy to be in his presence now and forever, worthy through the blood of the Lamb, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he has taken our sins and dealt with them once and for all on the cross. It is finished. Powerful words to help us deal with the pain. And he calls and he strengthens, not only through the gospel and the word, but also through the gospel and the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. God knows what we need, and so he's provided us the means to deal with pain, to keep our eyes fixed on what he has prepared for us for all eternity, because this life, as we all know too well, is temporary. And so with the Apostle Paul, we can say our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the eternal glory that awaits us. Paul knew pain. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is not minimizing his pain or your pain, but helping you keep it in perspective. And then later on, we know that in all things God works for the good of love, those who love him. How he can use our pain and the pain of others to draw our attention to that eternal glory that awaits us. To remind us that this is temporary. And we who are going through pain of various kinds, he can use that pain as a way to witness to others. I know what you're going through because I'm there too, we can say at certain times. And the way that helps me deal with that pain is Jesus. Thus Peter said, always be ready to share the reason for the hope that you have. How can you find reason to rejoice, not be happy, but rejoice in the midst of pain? One word, Jesus. How important it is to stay connected to he who is the vine, so that we can bear good fruit at all times. And thus the encouragement to not give up meeting together, but rather to get together to encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. And then that reminder in the third commandment to not despise preaching His word, but gladly hear and learn it. Because the Lord knows if we're not growing, we're dying. God doesn't want us to lose out on what He has prepared for us through Jesus. God, help us then stay connected. God, help us then remember that the hurt is temporary. Remind us that God is aware of all that we are going through, and He gives us relief as He knows best for us. Reminding us, too, that when we are weak, that's when we're really strong. Because do you ever find yourself trying to be almost too macho in dealing with the pain? And then you finally say to God, you know, God, I've tried to deal with the pain, but now you got to take over. And God says, I've been waiting for you to say those words. Because too often we get in the way of allowing God to do His work. When we are weak, when we realize it's not us, but it's Him, that's when we're really strong. God does provide relief. Again, for the physical, He provides us with medical means. What a gift from God. He provides counseling through professionals, through family members and friends. Do we take the time to really listen to people when they're hurting? You know, how often, and guilty of itself, right? How you doing? And walk right by. If you ask the question, stop and wait for an answer. Let us be a source of encouragement to people and really listen. And when it comes to spiritual pain, let us not direct people to their own works, to their own righteousness, but rather to the righteousness that Christ Jesus has won for us and the peace that only He can give. That peace that God has for the nations. And thus, He tells us, go and make disciples of all nations. Keeping in mind that we are more than conquerors now already through Him who loved us. Do you feel like a saint? Do you feel like a conqueror? You don't have to be dead to be a saint. You don't have to be dead to be a conqueror. By the grace of God, through faith, we are saints and conquerors now already. But the best is yet to come. Paradise was created by God, and then it was lost by human beings, the created ones. Thinking they knew better than God, the Creator. That hasn't changed, has it? We still like to think we know better than God. Thankfully, God has created a paradise of paradise. And so we can say, in a sense, paradise has been regained. It will not be lost again, no matter the human intervention. Dear friends, we may hurt now. But keep in mind Paul's words, our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the eternal glory that awaits us. That glory is possible, and that peace is possible thanks to God's grace and the saving work of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, continue to kindle in us the fire of God's love. And continually help us deal with the pain until that time we will hurt no more. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We turn to a confession of faith, which begins on the bottom of page 9. We join, I believe
in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection.
the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. We pray. Grant us, O Lord, to live each day in gladness and peace, without stumbling and without stain, that reaching the evenings victorious over all temptation, we may praise you, the eternal God, for you govern all things and are praised now and forever. Make us instruments of your peace, where there is hatred,
let us so love.
Where there is injury,
pardon.
Where there is doubt, where there is despair,
hope.
Where there is darkness,
light.
Where there is sadness,
joy.
O Lord, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love.
For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let
the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to you as the unfailing spring of healing and hope.
Help us.
Amen.
Lord, we reap what we sow. Help us sow generously as you are generous with us. Through you, we have become rich in ways the world on its own will not know or find. Help us use the thank offerings we bring to support the spread of the gospel so more and more can know what true wealth is and reap a harvest of righteousness. Freedom is a privilege, Lord, first of all from you by grace through faith in Jesus. Without your freedom, we would still be living in our sins and without the hope amidst sin's consequences. The freedoms you have granted our country also are a privilege. We thank you along with the men and women who have served and are serving our country in order to secure and maintain the freedoms we are able to enjoy. May we not take for granted what these men and women have done and are doing in our behalf. Keep them in your care. And may we not take for granted the freedom you have given to us in Jesus. We thank you also, Lord, for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. As you have watched over them through life to this point, we trust you will continue to watch over them. The love between a husband and a wife is also a gift from you. May those couples among us able to celebrate this gift be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You know why the Sadducees were sad, you see? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. God be praised that you do, and so you're not a Sadducee. And may that hope and joy on your in your face and on your heart, if it's, even though it's not in your face all the time, but in your heart, may that be shared with others so that they will not be sad for all eternity. Here's something that you can do today as you mingle in the lobby. You can address everybody as Saint Ed, Saint Keith, without a raised eyebrow. Seriously, though, we could do that, right? Not because of who Ed and Keith are per se, or any one of us, but who we are in Christ Jesus. God be praised again for that. And even though there's so much going against us, in a sense, in this world, step back and realize what's all going for us. Bible study taking place here today. Augsburg Confession we continue to look at. Sunday school, we'll meet in the chapel in a few minutes and continue singing, and then go into their lesson for the day. We have, as mentioned, a special opportunity to support our chaplaincy program for the military. opportunity to thank our veterans for their service. And we can do that right now. Thank you, veterans, for your service to our country. And also appreciate those who are serving our country currently. A way to support our chaplaincy program, there's an ammo can that comes from that support group as a way to symbolize what we're supporting. It's there on the desk there with the table on it. If you're able to give, please do so, and we'll pass that money on to our chaplaincy program. You can learn more about that by going to their website. You'll find material there how to get to their website. Women's retreat, the forms are due November 15th. Again, right around the corner. The retreat is January 20th through the 22nd. You can find more information about that there on the information board in the entryway. We do have a congregation and then a voters meeting back-to-back scheduled for next Sunday on the 20th after the late service. The main item of business will be the expansion of the Rose Garden in between the two buildings. Thanksgiving worship, that'll be coming up. We have our service on Wednesday night at 6:30. And then if you can't make that Wednesday night, but want a Thanksgiving Day service, Hope and Penryn is having theirs at 10 o'clock. See the weekly news for the things that are coming and going here at church and school, ways to stay connected. And speaking of being connected, we now have our monthly Wells Connection.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Certainly, staying close to our Savior through His gospel and word and sacraments is vital for all of us. But there are certain groups of people for whom that's harder to do in a traditional way. For those groups, Wells has various special ministries to keep them connected to Jesus, including to our brothers and sisters in the military.
In a family where Dad's deployment bags have been packed and ready to go for months, just in case, things can sometimes be uncertain and uneasy.
Deployments are now much more contingency focused as we take a look at what's going on in the news with various countries around the world.
Because for this Wells family, just outside of Savannah, Georgia, Dad could be sent overseas for months or even a year at a moment's notice. Forcing him to miss birthdays, holidays. He's even had to miss the birth of one of his children.
There's been a lot of conversations with the kids because it changes daily, you know? So just kind of being ready for anything.
Michael Hefty has served in the United States Army for the last 16 years. Over that span of time, he's been deployed 4 times. And assigned to 10 different duty stations. Most of those moves happening with his wife and children.
There was a period where we moved 4 years in a row. Each duty station was just a year, and that was a little much.
At the moment, the Hefty family is blessed with a Wells church just half an hour away from home, providing regular opportunities to worship the Lord and study His word with fellow believers, as well as strong Christian support during this time of uncertainty. But that hasn't always been the case.
We have found personally that there is a big difference between live streaming and being able to meet in person and strengthen each other in the faith through that fellowship and through being able to take communion together in person.
And so, thankfully for the Hefties and hundreds of other Wells families in the military, stationed at home and abroad, Wells Ministry to the Military offers opportunities for Christian support.
Our job, our responsibility to our military families is to just be there, just to be present, to listen, to reach out, and not just assume that everything's okay, especially when someone in the family deploys, that our congregations just rally around those people and support them.
Wells Ministry to the Military works to provide service members and their families with resources in support of their spiritual welfare. In addition to print materials, such as military-themed devotions and prayer booklets, the ministry also provides personal connections, whether that's to a Wells civilian chaplain or to a military contact pastor.
And these are pastors that serve in congregations that are located near military installations.
Without having that understanding myself from personal experience to know what it's like to be in the military and what are the best ways that we can serve them, I think that's just helpful to have those resources and, you know, I don't have to figure it out myself.
If a Wells member serving in the military reaches out to their local military contact pastor, there's a chance that the pastor might be able to come on base.
There is one recruit in particular that followed the protocol exactly. And so because of him, he's the one that got me on base for the Lord's Supper. And through that one connection, me being on base that one time, has now opened up the door for me to lead a Lutheran service on base every Sunday.
The isolation and other struggles that these families face can make something like a deployment even harder than it already is. And that's where the support of Wells Ministry to the military can be so important.
Our pastor took Mike to drop him off because he knew I couldn't do it. Things like that, you know, stepping in to some of those situations.
It's really comforting to know that other Christians are supporting the family back home while deployed.
It's important when the congregation just steps up and says, "How's it going?" You know, because sometimes you just need somebody to talk to that can share in your burdens.
Without our faith, I don't know how our family would continue, or our relationship, Katie and I's, would continue to stay strong. And even the conversation with the kids, as they sometimes have been anxious, very nervous or scared what might happen to Dad on a certain deployment or what we might be training for. And I always remind them, like, the Lord's in control. We have comfort in that, and it doesn't matter, and God will watch over them afterwards, regardless of what decision he makes.
Our ministry to the military works hard to develop robust congregational ministry to military members and their families. Our goal is to provide people who protect our nation with the support of church family and called workers who are sensitive to the stresses of military life. You can join this ministry by registering congregational service members at wells.net/refer.